Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Hey, this is Chris, and I'm traveling this week, but here's an episode from the archives that I think you'll enjoy. I got my bags packed on a roll. I'm heading out there, and I'm ready to go. Looking real good in my passport photo. Oh, no. Amateur Traveler, episode 764. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about catamarans and sea turtles, zip lines and fine dining, Admiral Nelson, and white sandy beaches as we cruise the Caribbean with the Windstar Starbreeze. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about the Windstar Starbreeze. This is going to be another solo episode. I'm just back from my second international trip here in 2021. And in my head, the way I had planned to talk this episode, which was a cruise in the Caribbean with Windstar, was to talk to you about the ship and the itinerary, and then at the end, talk about what it's like to travel in 2021 here where we're having a COVID epidemic. And I'm probably not going to do it in that order, even though that order still made sense to me, because it's going to be a little hard to explain some things without getting into the end first, which is what it's like to travel in 2021. But first, let's talk a little bit about Windstar. I don't know if you know the ship that I'm talking about that I cruised on, but if I told you that the ship was at anchor and that people who were passengers in the ship were jumping off the back into the ocean, you would probably get one particular mental image of the size of the ship that I'm talking about. And if I told you that the ship had five different dining rooms, you would get a very different one. And so this is a small ship for a cruise ship. If it was full, it would have 312 passengers. It's still an eight-deck ship, and it looks big until you see it parked next to one of the other 2,000 or 5,000 passenger ships. And so this is a small ship. And it does, in fact, have an activity area on the back where they can park this boat. They can anchor it near some desert island and actually have water activities out the back, including kayaks and things like that. So it's kind of a little like an expedition ship in that way. But on the other hand, it feels very much like a cruise ship in terms of having wonderful food and good service and an all-suite cabins and things like that. But when I think of Windstar, I actually don't think of this ship. The ship that I was on was the Starbreeze. I think of their classic ships, which are the masted ships, and this one is not one of those. They have six ships in the fleet right now, and their original ships all had masts and sails, and sort of the epitome for me of a Windstar mental image is watching one of these ships sail away from Bora Bora in French Polynesia. But they've expanded their offering from these masted ships to ships of the class of the Starbreeze. And what they've done with the three ships that they have that are of this class is they've all made them a little bigger this year. So the Starbreeze, I think it was on the third cruise after it came out of dry dock. And it was in dry dock because they cut the ship in half and extended it by 84 feet so that it could have up to 312 passengers. It used to be a smaller ship than that. And so they could put in some new amenities and things like that as well. So we'll talk to you a little more about the ship. We'll talk to you about the shipboard experience in a bit. But I want to talk to you first about the itinerary. And this is where I have to get into the COVID and 2021 stuff sooner than I plan to in this, because what happened was we were invited on the ship. I was a guest of Windstar for this. It was a wonderful opportunity. And we were invited to go cruise from St. Martin into the British Virgin Islands and then into St. Barts and St. Kitts. And we flew to St. Martin and we stayed in the hotel and went to the ship with everybody else. We got our COVID test to get onto the ship, our rapid COVID test. We'd already had a COVID test to get into St. Martin. Again, this is 2021. And while we were waiting for our results, you know, the 15 minutes that it took to wait for the results, we were given a letter from the captain which said, oh, by the way, we're not going to the British Virgin Islands. They just closed. And this is a little bit of what it's like to sail in 2021. I mean, this is always can happen on a cruise ship. You could have weather, you could have other things like that. But they basically closed the whole country. And so within 24 hours, they had to come up with a different itinerary. So I'm not going to be talking to you as much about the BVI itinerary that we didn't do. Instead, we sailed from St. Martin down to Barbados and then up to St. Lucia, which we've had an episode on recently on Amateur Traveler. And then we sailed up to Antigua. And then we weren't able to get into St. Barts because they also were closed. So we spent a second day in Antigua, and then we sailed back up to St. Martin. So that was the itinerary that we did versus the one we were planning on doing. Now, for us, that worked out great because I've been to the British Virgin Islands. In fact, I've been there on a sailing ship. And if you go way, 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 way back in the Amateur Traveler archives, you can find episode 19 where I talk about sailing there on the Windjammer Legacy, which is a ship and a shipping line that is no longer in service. And we sailed, again, a smaller ship that was a 100-passenger ship or so in the British Virgin Islands. And I love the British Virgin Islands and hope to get back there, but I had never been to these other islands that we went to. I do want to talk a little bit about what the original itinerary was supposed to be, because at some point they'll switch back to that, I would assume. And it would take advantage, in some ways, of the capabilities of this ship. So they were going to sail in the British Virgin Islands to Tortola, which is the main island, to Virgin Gorda, which has the baths, which is one of my favorite beaches in the whole world because you have to walk through a sea cave to get there. And then we're also going to go up to Jost Van Dyke, which is a very small island, which has, last time I was there, I think one building on it. There's a couple islands like that in the British Virgin Island. I've been to Norman Island, for instance, which is like that as well. And then you can take advantage in normal times of this ability of this ship to basically be a water activity platform. But the other thing that's different because we're sailing in 2021 is for all cruise ships that are part of CLIA, the Cruise Line Industry Association, in 2021, they're all doing bubble tours. And what that means is anytime you get off the ship for a shore excursion, you can only do it for a shore excursion that is through the company, approved by them, so that they can approve all the safety measures that they will do to keep their passengers safe, because no one, especially in the Cruise Line Association and anybody who's on the cruise ship, wants people to get sick on cruise ships and close down the industry again. And so all of the tours that we did were going to be bubble tours, which means that we're not going to just be able to go into port, for instance, in Bridgetown, Barbados, and just explore. That's just not what you can do here this year. So let me talk a little bit about the shore excursions we were able to do, but remember, keep that in mind, that that's the kind of tours you can do on any cruise line this year. And so we started with a day at sea going from St. Martin to Barbados, which is a great day for us to just catch up and to explore the ship because we had done a really early morning flight coming out of Washington, D.C. to get out to St. Martin. We'd left at 6 a.m. out of Dulles, which means we had to get up at like 3 o'clock, so it was nice to have a day to catch up. And so we sailed one day at sea, sailing all the way down from St. Martin, which is in the northern end of the Lesser Antilles, the Leeward Islands, and then down to Barbados, which is one of the eastern and southernmost islands in the Leeward Islands, in the Lesser Antilles in the Caribbean. And then the kind of activities, usually in port, you had three or four different shore excursion options. And if you didn't take one, you had to stay on the boat, right? Again, you can't just go into the port as you will be able to do eventually, but because of these times. And in some places, when you're not in port, they would also open up the activity deck, but you wouldn't do that if you're actually docked in the harbor, as we were at, for instance, at Barbados. And so in Barbados, for instance, there were a couple options that I looked at, and one of the options was a cultural tour of the island, which I would have loved to do. There's a UNESCO World Heritage Sites, a Bridgetown, the old historic center. And so I didn't do that, but I would love to get back there and explore Bridgetown. We've talked about Barbados before on the podcast. Didn't really get to see much of it that way. But there was a catamaran tour that included some snorkeling. And with Windstar, you get snorkeling gear for free as part of your cruise. And so I wanted to take advantage of that. I'd love to go snorkeling, and there was going to be an opportunity to do snorkeling and a catamaran cruise, and so we jumped on that. And so we went to the first place, and remember, I've recently been back from Galapagos where we were snorkeling with sea turtles, so this was a little different opportunity than that. We sailed really just around the corner from the harbor where the ship was moored into one of the sandy beaches in the southern end of Bridgetown, and there was a spot where they knew they could probably see some sea turtles, of course, with all of these things never guaranteed. And we went down there, you know, big group of people on the boat, 130 passengers on the boat, again, not the 312. And a lot of them were on this particular catamaran. I think there was at least a third of the passengers were on the catamaran. And so we all jumped in the water, and there were two tiny sea turtles at the bottom, you know, 20 feet down. And, you know, I took some underwater photos with that, but having just been in the Galapagos, I mean, that wasn't quite as impressive as what I had seen there. And so then most people got back on the boat. I swam for a little longer and saw a larger sea turtle that was about 2 feet long with a damaged flipper, and took some underwater video of that, which I'll post eventually. And then stayed in the water a little longer, and there was a 3-foot turtle that was swimming right near me and right under me that I have already posted on Instagram. And so that was turned out to be a better experience than it looked like it was going to be at first. But the second part of that snorkeling thing, we basically then pulled up anchor and went just a little ways away down the beach to where there was a wrecked, sunken tugboat. And that was one of the best snorkeling experiences I have ever had. You're snorkeling over this tugboat. Again, it feels like you're right out of the movie of Titanic. I've done that once before in Curacao. This was a larger boat, and there's just all of the sea life, both growing on the boat as well as all of this fish in the water. And so that was a wonderful opportunity. I'll post some video of that when I get a chance. And then we went and sailed down the coast, saw the coast of Barbados, and had a barbecue lunch, went for a swimming stop, and then went back to the boat. And that was our first shore excursion, and a kind of typical shore excursion. I think 4 or 5 hours trip. Your shore excursions are an additional cost, as they are on most cruises. And I usually budget for about half the price of the cruise for shore excursions. I think it was a little less than that for this. This is a luxury cruise. I'm seeing a price on this cruise of about $2,200 or $2,400 per person. And we probably spent maybe a quarter of that for shore excursions. On top of that, I had a budget from Windstar for that, and we were paying for my wife's shore excursions. We sailed then out of Barbados. We did a sailing away ceremony, as they do on the Windstar, which was, I'd say, cute. It's a small boat, and they had crew members who were basically doing choreographed moves to a song that was written for Windstar. As you sail away into the sunset, I think it probably looks even more spectacular when there are masts and sails and such involved, which you don't have on this ship. And then we sailed down the next day to St. Lucia. And we did talk about St. Lucia on Amateur Traveler recently. And I'll have to say, I was really anxious to see it because it sounded so beautiful. And I looked at so many beautiful pictures as I was putting them into that episode. And it is a fabulously beautiful island. It is a very mountainous island, very vivid green, gets a lot of rainfall. And we opted to do two different tours because we did two different ports of call in St. Lucia. The first day we were at Pigeon Island, and we were actually anchored there, and that was one of the days that they opened up the water sports activity deck. I did not get there because I was off on a shore excursion. I went way to the other side of the island to do a zip lining tour, and that was a great tour because of two things. One is we got to explore the island. We actually got to go on the windy mountain roads that are driving in St. Lucia with a driver, obviously, to go to the part of the island where there was the zip lining tour. So we got to see more of the island than I got to see on Barbados. So I enjoyed that. And then it was a wonderful zip line course. Great staff, I think 11 different lines, as well as 4 different suspension bridges. It was a workout because some ziplining courses, you start at the top of the valley and you work your way down. This one, you ended up working your way up and back, and so you were hiking a lot of steps and such. So it was a good workout as you're climbing all those steps in the jungle. And of course, we're wearing masks much of the time because, again, this is 2021. We did take them off sometimes when we're outside, like we did on the catamaran, but we were trying to be well-behaved as we were on the zipline course. But you really, at some point, when you're doing all those steps, you do take it off. And the staff was great, got some great pictures. They took their cameras and took pictures of us. My wife loves a good zipline course. I'm usually, with my fear of heights, a little less excited than she was, but had a great time doing that. And again, our driver was telling us all about the island as we're doing this. The next day, we got another catamaran tour. We did 2 catamaran tours as shore excursions, and we sailed down to the Pitons. And we talked about the Pitons when we did the episode recently on St. Lucia, which are these tall, green, mountainous peaks in the southern part of the island, and they're a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And so we sailed along the coast. And the interesting thing, when you sail along the coast of Barbados, it's mostly flat, and there's a lot of hotels and houses and beaches and things like that. When you sail along the coast of St. Lucia, it's quite different. There are hidden fishing villages that didn't even used to have a road to get there. You had to get there by boat. Again, very mountainous island, very beautiful, very, very green, because it has a lot more height than Barbados, for instance. And then from St. Lucia, we sailed to Antigua. We were originally hoping to have 1 day in Antigua and 1 in St. Barts, but again, St. Barts closed, so we did 2 in Antigua. We anchored the first day at St. John's, Antigua, and then we anchored the next day down on the southern part of the island in Falmouth. And it was really interesting going into Antigua because, remember, they weren't on our original itinerary, and they hadn't had any cruise ships yet since March of 2020. And so as we sailed into the harbor, there were 2 different fireboats on each side of us spraying water in various directions and blowing their horns alternately, one on the left and one on the right. And then when we got to the dock and docked, there was a steel drum band there, and there were dignitaries giving speeches, and there was a film crew that actually followed us because we went on a cultural tour that day, actually went down to Falmouth Harbor and then to the Nelson Dockyard, where we were interviewed by the film crew as they were celebrating that basically this is the first cruise ship in a year and a half. And the big deal for that is not that this is a big cruise ship or that there were a lot of us or that we were going to make a huge impact on the economy of Antigua, but that it was hope. Because Antigua, like a lot of these different islands, is very reliant on tourism. And so the tourism economy in Antigua makes up about 85% of their economy. And so it was a really big deal to see a cruise ship, even a smaller cruise ship, like the Starbreeze in the harbor again. We saw it very directly on both St. Lucia and Antigua, where a tour guide that we had in both places, it was their literally their first day back at work since March of 2020. And so that's one of the reasons why everybody is being careful with the bubble tours and all those sorts of things, is this tourism is very important for these islands. And so you want to not screw it up by bringing in COVID, and you want to not screw it up by shutting down the cruise industry again. So again, when we were at St. John's, we took a guided tour, and that's the sort of thing that was offered on each of the different islands. That was always one of the options, was did you want to take a guided tour, a cultural tour, and learn more about the people? We did that on St. John's, and one of the reasons we did that is it went down to Nelson's Dockyard. And Nelson's Dockyard is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it is named after Admiral Horatio Nelson of Battle of Trafalgar fame, the English admiral. When he was a younger man, he was stationed here in this area for a while. And this is a very significant harbor because it let the British Navy, when they were controlling Antigua way back in the days of sail, it is such a protected harbor, they could keep their ships here even during hurricane season, while the French and the Spanish, for instance, had to take their ships out of the region and take them back to Europe. And so it was a strategic advantage for them. And so So there was a significant harbor and dockyards here that could do repairs of sails and could even careen ships, where you turn ships over on the side so you can scrape the barnacles off the hull or repair the hull. They could do that here and do all of those repairs. And apparently they have still kept a lot of those skills in the people who work in the dockyards still are repairing wooden ships for people. In fact, our guide, who was an American who was working as an archaeologist in the area, said that some of the people, for instance, who know how to refinish teak decks and things like that, get flown around the world to repair expensive yachts at pretty decent prices and pretty good wages. And so they still value those skills here. And that's one of the reasons why this is the UNESCO World Heritage Site. And the other is it has a large collection of buildings from the Georgian era, from that era of what would be the early U.S. history, for instance, around that time period or a little before. So I'd like to get back actually and spend a little more time there. We had a brief tour, got to spend a little time in the museum, had a taste of the local rum. Wow, that is strong. And then went back to St. John's. The next day, the short excursion that we did was the kind that was also offered every day, and that was just a beach outing. And then basically, because it's a bubble tour, they take you as a group to a beach where you are secluded from people, but it's a safe, beautiful beach. And Antigua has a lot of beautiful beaches. They apparently have a beach for every day of the year, is what they tell you when you go there. They have 365 beaches. I don't know if they're all as beautiful as the one we were at, but it was quite a beautiful place that we went to. A popular tour that we did not do was the one where you get to feed the stingrays. And these are apparently wild stingrays that are attracted to the harbor. Just wasn't something we were interested in. And so Antigua, I'd love to get back to. St. Lucia, I'd love to get back to. Barbados, I would love to get back to. And that's one of the things I do like about cruising. I like the fact that you unpack once and people take you places. It's a very easy way to travel. But I also like it as a sampler that may give you just a taste of a place that leaves you wanting a little more. And that's okay. There are a couple of the shore excursion options we didn't do, like the Segway tour or the half-day private car van tour. That would be a little more expensive. We enjoy the options we took. One thing I would say is that when you book your cruise, try and sign up for your shore excursions as soon as you can, because there will be limited availability. Of course, in this case, everything got canceled because we changed the itinerary, but we put in our forms right away just as soon as we could, and so we were able to get all the options that we wanted. But not everybody was able to. If it took you a little longer to decide, you might not have that option. Oh, the other tour that we didn't do that our cruise excursion director really liked was the chocolate-making tour that I think was in Barbados. So that's something that I know that some of you have done in various places, but they did have one of those as we were in this region of the world. Caribbean is a beautiful region of the world. The water is warm, so every place we went, when you're jumping in the water, it's a beautiful place to go swimming. Some great snorkeling, again, in different places, although other places, more of a swimming beach area with white sandy bottoms and not a lot of reefs and things like that. So it depends where you are, whether it's good for swimming or whether it's good for snorkeling, as it is the case in many places. So that is what we're doing in terms of itinerary. And then we sailed back to St. Martin, and we were on the Netherlands side of St. Martin. Remember, St. Martin is split between French in the north and Netherlands in the south, or the Kingdom of the Netherlands, technically. It doesn't belong to the country of the Netherlands, but to the country of the Kingdom of the Netherlands, which also has the Netherlands as a part of it. And what you can do is when you get off the cruise ship, you can take a guided tour, for instance, as one of your ways of getting to your hotel if you're spending more time there, or going to the airport. We were just a little tired at that point and just went straight to the airport and waited, but there would have been enough time to do a guided tour of the island on our way to the airport, but we needed to fly home. We had spent a week and a half ahead of that with our daughter and her husband in Virginia and North Carolina, which actually we're going to talk about coming up on the Amateur Traveler, because one of the places that we went was Asheville, Great Smoky Mountain National Park, and the Blue Ridge Parkway, which we're going to talk about coming up in the future. But let's talk about Windstar. So you've got this cruise line that has six ships right now, and it is amazing to me when you look at their catalog how many different places in the world they're getting to, because this ship will stay here for a month maybe, and then it will move on, and then it may go down to Tahiti or off to Alaska or off to Europe. I mean, they're really moving these ships around, and so you can do a number of different places around the world on one of their six ships, despite not having a huge fleet. Again, three of those ships are masted ships with sails, and the other three are like the Seabreeze. The Seabreeze is the first of these three that got stretched to have that extra length with 312 all suite cabins, but the other two are coming out of dry dock really right around now and will be cruising later on this year. And I want to spend some time describing the Starbreeze to you. Again, eight decks on the ship. The first two decks, the lower two decks, are crew only and engine room and things like that. So I'll start with deck three. What you'll find on there are some cabins, and you'll find that water sports activity platform that I've been talking about in the back of the boat. And then the biggest thing that most people will get to there is the main dining room, which is Amphora. Now, when the ship is at full capacity, that would be operating all the time. With the limited number of passengers, they also only had about 70% of the crew on, and so they only operated Amphora on two different nights, and then the rest of the time you were in some of the other restaurants. As things open up and the ship fills up, that will be open all the time, and that is your typical white tablecloth, save room for dessert, surf and turf kind of restaurant. Really good food, really good service. Also some variety of things there. I think I ended up one of the days having a crispy stir-fried tofu option, which is, you know, a little more adventurous than I expect to find on a cruise ship. So good options. Would have loved to have been there more nights, but that just isn't where they're at right now. Fourth deck is all cabins. Again, all of the cabins are suite cabins. Our cabin was on the fifth deck, which is one of the newer cabins they put in. And as they go up to that level, then you've got French doors, for instance, that have a small balcony. It's about a 1 foot balcony, so you can step outside. You can't sit down outside, but you can open up the cabin to the outside, which is going to be warm and humid when you're in the tropics there. You have the sleeping area with the bed in it and dressers and nightstands and such. Lots of good connectivity in terms of plugging things in. Very modern ship. They've just redone this, so you've got both US and Europe plugs above the dresser, as well as USB plugs there, USB plugs to either side of the bed. Very nice, because we do travel with a lot of electronics that need recharging, so that worked out very nicely. Room under the bed. We usually travel with carry-on luggage, was what we were traveling with on this cruise, because we didn't need tuxedos for dressing up for dinner, things like that. We had nice slacks and button-down shirt when we were in Amphora for something like that, for me, for instance. And so some people did dress up, but we didn't dress up quite as much. And with that, we probably only used half of the storage in the room, because there's also a full-size walk-in closet with shelves and lots of hangers to hang things up, and, you know, the safe and your life jackets and things like that as well. But lots of storage. And then there's a sitting area as well, with a couch and a couple chairs and the mini bar fridge, which they're keeping stocked. The soft drinks would be free, and then the liquor would depend on what kind of drink plan you have. I was on a drink plan. My wife was not. But my drink plan did allow me, for instance, to purchase a bottle of wine for her at the beginning of the week at 30% discount. Whichever restaurant we were in, she would have that wine brought down if she was interested in more of that. So we were able to use that wisely. That's something to be aware of that our waiters told us about. There's a TV in the room with movies and TV shows, and that's where you're actually getting your daily information about what's going on the ship, as well as the paper copy that you can also pick up. And then when they get the system working right, you're supposed to be able to view your bill there, but they still had a couple bugs in that. Again, very new ship at this point. Also on the fifth deck, you'll find in the front is a hot tub, and then in the back is the lounge, also the reception area and the shore excursions desk. But the lounge is where you're going to have nighttime performances, as well as where all of the shore excursions will start from. And so the lounge is one of the larger public spaces on the ship. There's also a conference room there, a screening room, which I know there was a smaller group that was on the ship with us that was using that for some days. This on deck six is also predominantly going to be cabins. There are some owner's cabins, for instance, which are quite nice and which they don't put up riders in because those are really fancy. And then in the back is something new, which is a Spanish restaurant, which is Cuadro 44. Now, Spanish food, I will admit, is not my top cuisine of choice. It is for many of you I know. And those people who we talked to on the ship who Spanish food was one of their favorite cuisines really, really loved Cuadro 44. We enjoyed it. I enjoyed the food that we ordered there. But the people who really like Spanish food would definitely recommend the octopus, which was one of the dishes on there. But it's a tapas restaurant. You can get tapas. You can also get some larger meals. And again, all of the restaurants are included in the price of the cruise. So for the specialty restaurants, though, like Cuadro 44, you need to make sure that you make reservations, because if you don't make reservations in the early part of the week, you may not be able to get in because it is a smaller restaurant with limited seating. But definitely save some room for dessert. I would recommend the churros with chocolate. We had a couple of the other desserts to try as well. But a good restaurant, especially if Spanish food is one of your favorite cuisines. And then in the back of that deck is also the shop. There's a small shop where you can pick up your Windstar t-shirt, your t-shirt that has the ship outline, and then below it upside down says 180 degrees from ordinary. They're trying to do things a little differently on Windstar. In the back of deck 6 is the Compass Rose. And the Compass Rose is the largest of the bars on the ship. That one, I'd say, probably didn't get as much patronage when we were there as the one that I'll talk about a little later, just because there was a lot of empty space on the boat when we were there. On deck 7, front to back, is the bridge, and the bridge is open except when they're doing specific maneuvers. And I was always busy enough that I didn't manage to get into the bridge and take some pictures, so I apologize for that. But there were just so many things to do, and the times that I tried to get there happened to be when we were getting in and out of port where they needed to concentrate, as was just as well. And then behind that is the spa and fitness center, and so that you can get your full body massage, as I was able to do. Or you can get your facial or get your hair done or your nails or whatever you want to there at the spa. And then by the spa is the motion studio and the fitness center. They do fitness classes. Some of them are free. And then you can also do what Joan did, who won a voucher for the fitness center, is do a session with a trainer. She was able to do about an hour session with a personal fitness trainer, which she enjoyed. And then behind that is the pool deck. The pool is small. It's not a huge boat, but there is a pool and a hot tub there and in open air, as well as a number of lounge chairs that you can sit at if you're looking to get your suntan. I am not, but many people certainly were. And then behind that is two restaurants, and I say two restaurants because this is where we ate quite often, and it's a veranda during breakfast and lunch. And then at night, it turns into Candles. And Veranda is a buffet restaurant, and Candles is a sit-down white tablecloth restaurant. It has seating both indoors and outdoors, and that's one of the reasons we ate there as often as possible. When it turns into Candles at night, you do need to make a reservation for that. And with the main dining room open, there was definitely pressure on reservations for that. So again, depending on when you go and what's available, you know, make your reservations early. You can always change them. But the buffet restaurant, while we were there, because of COVID, we were being served everything from the buffet. Eventually, that will open up and it will be back to a normal buffet where you're serving yourself from, you know, the salad bar or the desserts or whatever. There, in the morning, there was an omelet station. There was also a menu you could order off of where you could get things like Eggs Benedict or French toast or pancakes or whatever from the menu, or you could eat from the buffet and get, you know, an English breakfast on this side and cereal and fruit and desserts and all those sorts of things. Lunchtime, similar. There'd be some sort of special station in the middle that might be a carving station, or it might be paella, I think it was one day or whatever. And then there's always fruit and salad and sandwich makings. And there's a menu, again, that you can order from. I remember ordering a hamburger or something from the menu. Not a lot of menu items on there, but good food. And then again, in the evening, I really found it a treat to be eating out basically on the back deck, surrounded by glass and covered with shade, both during the day and also in the evening when we ate at Candles at nighttime. Attentive service, a good service by American standards, and very pleasant crew who were doing all the serving on there. I really enjoyed the food on the Starbreeze. And you don't even have to go to any of the restaurants. You can order most of the things that are available and stay in your cabin and do room service. We never managed to do it. It just always seemed like a better idea to be up on deck doing something else or in one of the other restaurants. And then the final deck, deck 8, there's the Yacht Club Cafe and Library in the front. That was probably my favorite of the public spaces. And that is a cafe area that also had sandwiches and desserts and fufu coffees available during the day, and had seating areas and library materials and a computer you could use, a couple TVs on with the news or documentaries, and then also some games you could play and such. And it's out there on the top deck in the front of the boat, so beautiful view. And again, my favorite space, if I'm going to hang out and I didn't want to hang out in the room, I would go up here to the Yacht Club on deck 8. Behind that, the Star Bar and the Star Grill, and Star Grill being the last of the restaurants on the ship, and that was open, for instance, a little later in the afternoon. So if you didn't get back in time to get to Veranda before it closed at, say, 1 or 2 o'clock because you were on a shore excursion, you'd go up to the Star Grill, and they focused on grilled food. They would usually have some sort of meat options, and then they also had always had a salad bar, always had a dessert bar, always had a number of other things. So good food there as well. That is a recent addition to the ship and a more casual dining atmosphere. We ate there a number of times in the evening, again, because you could eat there in the open deck, and it was very nice. And if you got back at the right time, you could get back and do your trivia contest there at the Star Bar and the Star Grill while you were eating lunch. We did okay on the general trivia. I think we came in second because I forgot one of the people who played James Bond, but we did okay with remembering the big five animals from African safaris, which I would hope I would remember after the number of times we've dealt with it on this show. But we didn't do so good on music trivia. So if you're ever going to pick me for your trivia team, probably make sure that it's not a music trivia contest because I am rubbish. And then behind that, there's more deck that looks down on the pool area. And they would use this area, for instance, for the sail away ceremonies. And then also one of the traditions on Windstar is a barbecue, which we'll sometimes do on an island. So, for instance, if you're up there maybe in the BVIs and you're by Just Van Dyke, which is, you know, predominantly an uninhabited island, you could take one of the beaches and take all of the passengers out to the beach and do your barbecue once during the cruise. With this particular itinerary, there wasn't a great place to do that, and so they still did the barbecue, but they did it in decks 7 and 8 in that open pool area and the area that overlooks it from deck 8. And so they used that as a sort of a community area in itself. That was really a fun dinner too, the barbecue dinner, when they were doing all the food cooked and served out here on the deck. Of course, it is the Caribbean, so we were just finished eating our dinner when a brief rainstorm went through, because that's where you are and that's what it's like here. But that gives you some idea of what the ship is, the Starbreeze. Again, very modern and very new. The paint is hardly dry on it after this big $250 million initiative here where they added 84 feet to it. I mentioned that they were all suites. So we stayed in a Star Ocean View suite, which cabin 530 was, and that's about 277 square feet. So just to give you some idea in terms of the size of that. I don't know if there's anything smaller than that. I think that may be the smallest suite size on the ship. And then you get up to the owner suite, which is larger than my first apartment. And it depends on how many different people you have, how much of it you use, and probably out of my price range too, but pretty nice looking if you can afford it. For those of you who are ship people, just so you know, so I said 312 guest capacity, 6 decks for the guests, 200 crew members when fully staffed. Again, we were at about 70% crew staff because we had less than 50% passengers. The length of the ship is about 522 feet, and the beam, it's about 62 feet across. It has a 17-foot draft, if that makes a difference to you, about 12,000, almost 13,000 gross tons. And it can cruise at 15 knots. If those numbers mean anything to you, that tells you a little bit about the Starbreeze. And I mentioned I was going to talk a little more about cruising in 2021 in in the time of COVID. One of the things that I liked about this particular opportunity is I think if I was offered even a free cruise on one of the big cruise ships right now, I don't know that I would say yes. I don't know that I'm quite ready to get on board a ship with 3,000 people. And so, you know, 130 people, 300 people, I think that was just a better size for me for now. But also they're being very careful. So we were tested, as I said, to get into St. Martin. You have to have a test. You have to fill out some paperwork that has to have your test results with it. Then you have to get that back in 12 hours. That's a little bit of a hassle to get into St. Martin itself. Probably the hardest one to get into was St. Martin. And then we would have testing, antigen tests, that rapid testing on the ship. And so they would tell everybody, okay, you know, today we're going to test everybody so that when we pull into Barbados tomorrow, we can just clear the whole ship all at once. And so we'd all have tested before we went to Barbados. We didn't have to test again then to get into St. Lucia because we had just been tested within 48 hours, but we tested again to get into Antigua, and then we tested again to get into St. Martin, and we could use those same test results. We got them in printout copies, so we could use them to fly home if we were flying home within 48 hours of that last test. If not, if you were staying for another week, for instance, then you would have to schedule another test so you could get back to the U.S. So it's just something you have to be aware of these days is there's going to be testing. If you leave the country, you're going to have to be tested to get back. You know, as you fly there, you're going to have to wear your mask, all those sorts of things. When we first started traveling in the pandemic, you had to make sure that you brought hand sanitizer. That's really not necessary anymore. I think they had it everywhere if you needed it. And there were certainly places that you would go that as you were coming in and clearing into the country, they would do temperature checks and you'd have to sanitize your hands and all those sorts of things as you went in. But it's really not a big deal. And then we did wear masks more, although we tended to wear them sort of inconsistent with the CDC recommendations that sometimes when we're outdoors, like when we're at the beach or when we're doing outdoor dining and such, we didn't worry about it, obviously, or indoor dining. And they made sure that there was social distancing, the big dining room with fewer of us, it was easy to do that. I loved our experience with the Star Breeze, although one of these days, I swear to you, we're going to do an episode with me back on a Windstar ship. I might be on my dime, I might be on theirs, going to be pulling out of Bora Bora or some other spectacular tropical place with the sails up in the ship as well. If you've been looking at this particular episode with one of the podcatchers that shows pictures, you've been seeing pictures of the places I've been talking about or the ship and the different places I've been talking about there. If you haven't been, I will be putting a blog post up as well that will have a lot of the pictures in it, so you can check that out. A couple tips in there in terms of cruising. I don't know if you know, but most cruise ships, the walls of your cabins are metal. So if you want to keep track of your daily schedule, just bring a couple refrigerator magnets and you can tack it onto the wall of your cabin. I did mention when I mentioned the spa that I did a full body massage. I did the hot rock massage, and I've never done that before. I am not a big massage guy. I've got a lot of personal space issues, but I quite enjoyed it, and I went in with a sore back, coming in with a lot of stress in between my shoulder blades, and it was great to do that, a good experience, and again, one I had never done before. I think that covers everything on my outline here, so I'll ask myself some of the questions that I usually ask the rest of you who when you come on the show. And one of the things is you're standing in the most beautiful spot you saw. Where are you standing and what are you looking at? That would probably be the deck of a catamaran looking at the pitons in St. Lucia, these beautiful, rugged, green spires of mountains. Either that or I'd be snorkeling and I'd be looking at that tugboat that we saw in Barbados. And one thing that makes me laugh and say, only on the Windstar. You know, it was interesting being on a boat with 130 passengers or, you know, 300 passengers if it was full. I've been on smaller cruises. In fact, we talked about an expedition class ship recently and before on the show that are even smaller than that. But it's funny being on something that really feels like it's got a, you know, there's nothing from a regular cruise on a larger ship that I felt like I missed. Yeah, it doesn't have a go-kart track. It doesn't have a climbing wall, but it really had a lot of the things that I think are the best parts of that without having the same sort of, you know, when you hit shore, you take over the city. When you drop off 2,000 people into a city, that makes a splash, and it just takes a long time to get 2,000 people off the boat. And there's some things that are just really funny when you're on something that seems like it's that kind of experience, but with a number of people, it seems quite different at the same time. And I didn't always figure out how to wrap my head around what kind of experience I was having. It was different. You know, I guess that's their slogan, right? 180 degrees from ordinary. But I quite enjoyed it. And, you know, partially just getting out of the house and going someplace in the tropics here and leaving the country after we've been cooped up for a year, I was going to enjoy anything for sure. But this is an experience that I would enjoy anytime, I'm sure. And I would love to go back on a Windstar cruise, either on the Starbreeze on one of its sister ships or on one of their masted ships as well. And if I had to summarize this trip in three words or less, tropical. Because it was just really fun to be back in the Caribbean. Hadn't been there for years, really. And just enjoyed being back in the tropics again and back in the Caribbean particularly. Luxury. I have to say luxury. I felt they treated us in a fashion to which I'd like to become accustomed. And relaxing. I love go, go, go. Let's see how much we can explore kind of trips. I think you've probably picked that up from Amateur Traveler by now, that I love the, in fact, when I'm not traveling with my family, I usually travel at twice the speed and see twice as much. But I also do like these kind of slow down, let somebody plan it out. You know, all I have to figure out is which restaurant do I want to go to for dinner kind of trips. And especially, I think this year was a good year for me for this kind of vacation. Again, not ready for a big cruise ship, but was ready for something that was a little less stressful. Even with all the testing, even with the mask and all that kind of stuff, still just this kind of pre-packaged kind of vacation was the right thing for me this year. And I'd like to thank me for having me on the show. In news of the community, first thanks go out to patrons of the show who help support the show with their donations, and special thanks to Jason Billog, who became our most recent patron. Patrons of the show get the show a little early, not quite as early this week because this one took longer to put together, but also get a monthly Zoom call and get a version without ads, and get the satisfaction of knowing they're helping the Amateur Traveler. This week I heard from Simon, who wrote about the episode we did recently on Buenos Aires. Said, I love how your podcast manages one week to bring back great memories of past journeys and then the week after gives new ideas for future trips. Can I add one theme missed out by your excellent guest on Buenos Aires recently? Tango dancing. On our first visit to Buenos Aires, my wife and I booked a daily Argentine tango lesson one-on-one and made such good progress that we even managed to do a tango as first dance at our own wedding a few weeks later. Even if listeners are not dancers themselves, the tango shows are superb in Buenos Aires, usually dinner and performance at a restaurant, and the World Tango Museum is definitely worth a visit for the history of Argentina's national dance. The lemon meringue pie is definitely worth waiting for in line at Cafe Tortoni. The final tip: if going to a football game, we got tickets for the River Plate, but the only seats with any shelter are for VIPs or the press, and we got home absolutely drenched as it rained for 2 hours solid. Still worth going, though. Thanks again for bringing back these memories, Simon. And Simon, you are right. Tango is definitely something that should be mentioned. We went to a tango show, but we did not pay to go to a tango show. We were there on the weekend, and when we talked about that fair that happens that in that area from the central of town going a little further south, there were people just tangoing in the plazas. My wife and I have had a few tango lessons, although West Coast Swing was what we were really studying with a dance instructor at that point. I don't know that my tango ever got any good. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have a question, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com, and thanks so much for listening.